Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by DesignMySoap.com. Design your own soap now and get a free Real Ghost Stories branded vegan lip balm when you use coupon code GHOST at checkout.
Real Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see I Did It written in paint where you just paint it.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, and 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, where you can even email your audio file to us. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com to share that story with us. If you like the program, become an EPP. That's an extra podcast person. Sign up there at ghostpodcast.com. You can do it right through the website and access all the EPP episodes there, or even through Patreon as well. The link, all there. At ghostpodcast.com. That's what keeps our show alive. So there you go. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hello.
And how was your fine day?
Good.
Good.
I'm sore and I'm fairly gross at the moment because I'm covered in stain and polyurethane.
Now you've kind of gone and said what, you know, what I was going to say. And now everyone, guess what she's been doing? Because you could have just left it there at, I'm sore and kind of gross at the moment. And there could have been like a fill in the blank, you know, like almost Mad Libs of any, you know, a lot of possibilities there.
Well, they still don't know what I was doing.
Well, polyurethane, and you know, you're either making some sort of horrible drug in the trailer out back with Walter White, or you were doing some sort of crafting project for the Junkin' with Jenny podcast.
Yeah, I spent the day staining beams. So
I would say crafting is a very
that makes me think of
not operative word for what you were doing. Construction project,
yeah.
I think, is a little more in line.
Big tools.
Yeah, yep. You were putting up beams
and staining them.
And I was just kind of pointing and eating Skittles while you were doing it.
You got home and you were like, oh, look at that. And I was pretty proud of myself.
I did help put them up yesterday.
You did, but it looks totally different from bare wood to stained and distressed. And I hatcheted the edge of every single beam.
Jenny worked with an axe without supervision this morning.
They are Lizzie Borden beams.
They look pretty cool. And they'll be on an upcoming episode of Junkin' with Jenny, which you can check out at junkinwithjenny.com. It's creepy. It's cool. It's everything. it's everything we like. So anyway... That's why you're kind of covered in stain today.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing we can see.
It's funny where stain likes to land on your shirt.
That's true. It did land in some strategic areas.
Yeah.
So I have an excuse now why I'm staring in certain places.
Thank you.
Among other days when I do not have an excuse other than you're going to file a complaint with the HR department here.
That's right.
Which I think is me, actually.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
Anyhow, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first caller of the day. and hear a ghost story. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Joe from California. Long-time listener of your show. Love it. I'm all into the, you know, spooky ghost stuff. She's not so much because she thinks I'm opening myself up to something, but I feel like the doors have been open for a while. Got a few stories, but the one I wanted to share was happened to me when I was very young. I want to say maybe 6, 7, maybe 8 years old at the most. My grandfather on my father's side passed away. He was asthmatic and, you know, just he was older, maybe 85, 86, I think he was. But I was all real close with him. He was basically like my hero, you know. We did everything with him, went everywhere with him. They lived in Iowa, so we would go down there for every Christmas and for summers and whatnot. But I remember the day he passed, you know, I was explaining, you know, grandfather died and we're going to go to the funeral, which I understood what was going on, but for whatever reason, it just didn't make me sad. Maybe I didn't understand the concept of death at the time. I'm not sure. But I specifically remember at the funeral, you know, playing with my new Game Boy with my cousin and not really feeling like bad about any of the, you know, of the fact that my grandfather passed away. My dad's family was really big. They had 15 kids. Two died kind of early on. So it was 13 brothers and sisters. So there were always a ton of grandkids and, you know, cousins and people at the house, where my grandmother and grandfather lived, their last house. And, I remember after the funeral, I had gone upstairs to the room where I stayed when we came to have our winter vacations and whatnot. And I had always wanted, surprisingly enough, bunk bed growing up, but I never had any reason for one because I didn't have a sister or brothers or anything like that. One sister 10 years later. But we had this bunk bed in that room for cousins. My cousins would come over if I was in town. We would all stay there, you know, and stay up and play or whatever. So after the funeral, you know, it was middle of the day, nice day, the whole family's over, everybody was downstairs kind of talking and eating, you know, just kind of reminiscing, making sure my grandmother was okay. And I remember very specifically being upstairs by myself in the room, sitting kind of under the window playing, of all things, Hi-Ho Cheerio by myself, which is such an old game, and it's not a game you can play by yourself, so I really don't know what I was doing, but... I remember getting this kind of strange feeling and looking up and seeing my grandfather standing there under the window, you know, just very plainly. I remember him having kind of like a glow. It just seemed like he was standing in the sunlight of the window, so it didn't strike me as strange. Although I do remember thinking at the time, like, oh, that's strange. I thought you were, you know, I wasn't going to see you anymore. And he looked at me, and he was wearing the same thing he always did, brown slacks, you know, his dress shoes, brown dress shoes, green cardigan that reminded you of Mr. Rogers. He was very, you know, my dad was born in 1930, so you can imagine how old my grandfather was and where he came from. But he was just very calm, and he didn't seem upset or anything. And I had just asked him, like, what are you doing here? And he looked at me and he said, I want you to tell everybody and your grandmother that everything's going to be okay, everything's fine, and that your grandmother will be joining me soon. And that was it. And he left. He disappeared. He just wasn't there anymore. And it's kind of strange because I remember the beginning of the event and, the middle of the event, but I don't really remember him leaving or disappearing. Like, I don't remember realizing, like, oh, wow, he was there and now he's not. He didn't walk out of the room. He just wasn't there anymore. But I remember very specifically going downstairs, and I stopped when I got to the bottom of the stairs because I started to think about kind of what had happened, maybe. And it was kind of like, maybe, you know, kind of realize, like, oh, wow, I just saw somebody that's not alive anymore. And I stopped. I didn't say anything, and I kind of was just standing there. And I think my grandmother or maybe my mother noticed me, and she's like, you know, asked me, are you okay? And my grandmother, out of nowhere, said, no, he's got something to tell us. Let him come. And I walked over to her and very calmly told her what happened. and told her what he said, which, of course, everybody in the room lost it when I said that my grandmother would be joining him soon, because, of course, they thought that meant that she was going to die soon. Why would I say this? And I think every member of the family asked me to repeat the story, and I did, verbatim, every time. It hasn't changed. It's still fresh in my mind like it happened yesterday. Yeah, and that was kind of it. And my grandmother, strangely enough, was the only person who, I won't say believed me, but was okay with what I told her. She didn't seem to be bothered by it. She didn't seem to be upset by it. My dad's family was always very religious. They were Christian. You know, we went to church every Sunday, and they were big prayers, and they would have family prayers. And it was always kind of known that, you know, there's something else, but I was never raised to kind of, I don't know, believe in supernatural things or anything that was talked about in that fashion. Was always based on religion or the Bible and whatnot. But this, I didn't get any of that kind of feeling from this. This was simply my grandfather showed up, told me something, and told me to go tell everyone. And the odd thing about it is my grandmother, I think she was 102 when she passed, and he was, in his 80s. So it was a good, you know, 10, 20 years later before my grandmother actually did pass away. So I don't know, maybe the time frame for someone who's already gone is different. Maybe time is irrelevant. I'm not really sure about that one, because that was always kind of confusing to me. But it was not a bad feeling. It was a very good feeling. Like I said, he was my best friend. I mean, smartest guy I knew, great writer, always kind of modeled myself after him. But yeah, I just wanted to know kind of what you thought about that. I've listened to your show many times, and I've heard similar stories, so I figured maybe it's not that strange. Hopefully you can use it for your show. And like I said, wife and I love the show. We listen to it all the time. And keep up the good work. Hope to become EPP member soon and get that bell. Although I don't have the bunk bed anymore, so I don't know what I would do with it. But anyway, have a good one. Thanks.
No bed required if you want the bell. This is just when you hear us talking about it, you ring the bell.
Yeah.
That's how that works.
I think maybe the grandmother was, you know, having a hard time, and knowing that it wasn't going to be forever before she saw him again maybe made it easier for her, even though it was still pretty long in between his death and her death.
Sure.
You know, just maybe that was supposed to bring her some kind of comfort, or just, you know, some peace to know that they will be together again.
Yeah. The wording I could see being a little perturbing for everyone. Very soon you shall all be together again. It's like, oh God.
Right.
But yeah. But I think it's pretty much straightforward what it was. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of times when it is the visit from a loved one with a message, it's not super religious-y. It's not super this or that. It's just kind of straightforward. It's like, this is like you ran into the person in the hallway and they said, hey, go tell your grandma this, or go tell the family that.
Yeah.
As if they were actually there, you know, in the living form.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, they don't happen to be in that living form, but they're still giving the message on the other side.
It makes you wonder what their time frame is. You know, is 20 years like really soon when you're dead?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, the older you get, the faster time seems to go.
Yeah.
So maybe it's really fast when you're...
It could be.
When you're that old. Thank you for the call, and thank you for sharing that experience with us. Obviously, on this show, we talk about a lot of supernatural things, but how about this? This is something that's supernatural.
Okay.
You like that?
That's pretty good.
Supernatural. The folks over at designmysoap.com, supernatural soaps, they are. And I'll keep saying that over and over. Some nice guys in Indiana who basically found a way to make soap all naturally. Mm-hmm. And I talked to them earlier in the day, and they explained how the whole process worked. And it was just kind of like an experiment amongst themselves, not even like really thinking business-wise. But after they had made so much of this, they decided, hey, we should probably sell this because we have a lot of soap now.
Yeah.
And that's what it turned into. They pretty much make soap all the time. And it's really good stuff. It's called designmysoap.com. It's exactly that. It's a website that lets you create your own bar of soap. You choose different all-natural scents. We were playing with this the other night and picking our all-natural scents and exfoliants that work best for you and your skin type. You even get to name your soap. And they made a suggestion here of Tony's Tingly Bar. I will say this. I think I don't remember the exact name of my soap, but I know it's probably not appropriate. Okay. So when the bar comes in the mail, we'll say like, oh, and I hope the girls don't read it.
Okay.
It's not horrible, but it's still probably not appropriate. Anyway, you can name your bar as soap, designbysoap.com. It's the world's first online soap making studio. Jenny Soap, what was it named?
Rub-a-dub.
Rub-a-dub. There you go. I'm not quite sure what dub means, but there you go.
You've heard of that, like
rub-a-dub. Yeah, I guess recently. If you have a super dry, sensitive, or oily skin, you can choose the right bar that's just right for you. So they have all different types for all different types of skin. It's really neat. You can customize this thing. You know, it's like I was thinking, you know, sometimes you go to the stores that have all the soap stuff and all that, and you're kind of settling for whatever options they have.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you can build it from the ground up. With the essential oils, the exfoliants, the oatmeal, bentonite clay, activated charcoal, you name it. You got to check it out. All soaps are handcrafted using all natural ingredients that are vegan and cruelty-free. They're also non-GMO and gluten-free, too. So this is as natural as you're going to get. Each bar, just $8. Shipping's only $5. No matter how many bars you make, your soap will arrive in about 10 days. So it's not like a forever process. Great gifts, especially around the holidays here. You're looking for a unique gift? Think about this. No minimum orders, and your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. Check it out for yourself. DesignMySoap.com. Your design and your soap. Get free branded vegan lip balm with our logo on it. Ghost Real Ghost Stories Online. It's branded for our show. They said they're going to send us some.
Yay!
So I'm excited about getting some of those. But you get the free Real Ghost Stories Online branded vegan lip balm when you use the coupon code GHOST at checkouts. So check it out, designmysoap.com. Use that coupon code GHOST. Get yourself some Real Ghost Stories Online lip balm. I don't know that the lip balm will protect you from ghosts, but it will make you feel closer to us.
I'm really excited.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get this.
It'll be neat. It'll be neat. So there you go. Check it out. DesignMySoap.com. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Hi, you are on the air.
Hey, guys. My name's AJ. I grew up in Michigan, but I moved to New Jersey when I was 17. The story that I'm going to tell took place in New Jersey. So I guess before I get started with the story, I should preface it with a little bit of my background. My family has quite the history with the paranormal. My grandma, my mom's side, my mom's brother, one of my sisters, and I can all see spirits. We've all had many experiences. I grew up in a haunted house, then we moved when I was 16 into another house that was way more haunted. I have quite a few stories from that house that I will tell at another time. Anyway, I'm not afraid of the paranormal. I like it. My grandma always taught me to stand up to spirits and embrace these gifts, so I've always felt that this kind of thing has kind of been drawn to me. But anyway, for this story, it was the spring and the summer of 2013. A bunch of friends, about 8 or 9 of us, on a daily basis, would meet up at our buddy Drew's house after school or after work or whatever. We would all hang out and watch movies, play video games, go outside and have a catch or something. You know, we were all really tight and we always had a blast together, so our energy was always positive. But one day we were all in the living room, and we heard a kitchen cabinet close pretty hard. We knew no one was in there, but we were just like, that was weird, then just shrugged it off. Well, this started happening very frequently, and it was starting to freak us out. Things were beginning to escalate. We were all sitting in the dining room around the table, and we heard the front door, which was in the living room, open and then close. One of us yelled out, "Hello," and there was no answer. So I got up and went to the door and opened it to see if one of our friends was messing around, but there was no one outside, and all of our friends who were there were at the table when this happened. I can remember hearing the door open and close a few other times under the same circumstances. At this point, everyone believed the house was haunted. As spring turned to summer, we began having parties at Drew's house often, and people would always tell their weird stories, which seemed to escalate things further. To the point where I started seeing a man in this house. At first it was a glimpse, but as we fed more energy into it over the summer, I would see him more and more, and he was getting closer to me. He was tall, probably about 6'5", very thin, and all black. He was wearing what looked to be a long black trench coat with a black hat, like an old-timey, large-brimmed black hat. I know what you're thinking, like the Shadow Hat Man, or whatever he's called. When all this was happening, I didn't know that the Shadow Hat Man was a phenomenon until I heard about it on this podcast last week. When I heard about it, I freaked out because when I looked it up, the images that some people explained or drew were exactly what I was seeing. It was pretty chilling. But anyway, back to the story. As soon as I started seeing this man, I told one of my closest friends from the group. I didn't want to tell Drew because he had to live in this house. I also didn't want to, scare anyone or make them think that I'm nuts. But after a few weeks of this man getting closer and closer to me, and cabinets slamming and doors closing, I decided I had to at least tell Drew because things were getting pretty wild. So one night when we were all hanging out, I told Drew to come smoke a cigarette with me. We went outside and sat down at the picnic table, and I just came out with it. I said, "Hey man, I've been seeing this man in your house, and I think he's the one doing all this crazy stuff." He told me to go on, so I started to describe him, saying he's very tall, thin, all black, and he completed my description by cutting me off and saying long black trench coat and a hat. I was like, well, yeah. I was floored. I could not believe it. I asked him how he knew, and he said he had been seeing that man in his dreams for years. And that was crazy. We were both in a state of shock, almost. He believed that the man followed his dad when things weren't going well, which just last week I learned that's exactly what the Hat Man does. So a few days later is when it got real for me personally. I was sitting on the love seat in Drew's living room while him and my closest friend from the group that I mentioned earlier were on the larger couch to my left. We were just sitting having a regular conversation when I could feel and then see the man come up behind me, just behind my right shoulder. I thought it best to not give him a reaction, so I was ignoring him and continuing on with the conversation. A couple minutes later, I felt this man run his hand through my hair. Mind you, I had a baseball cap on and my hat did not move, but I unmistakably felt a hand start at my forehead and swipe back through my hair to the back of my head. As soon as it happened, I felt so much anger and rage fill my body, and I flipped out on my friends, telling them, like, F you, and I'll beat your ass, and stuff like that. In my head, all I could think was get out. So before I lost it, I got to the front door and walked down the long driveway until I hit the road. As soon as I hit the road, all of my energy drained and tears came to my eyes. My friends obviously came outside to ask what happened, and I told them everything. And they were kind of in disbelief, and I don't blame them, but that day I didn't go back inside. I did return another day, and I told him, you know, you can't touch me. You can't mess with my emotions. We're not going to do this. You don't hold anything over me. And I guess he just kind of went away because I don't remember anything in particular happening after that. But it was very intense when it happened, and It was crazy. And so after hearing what I did on y'all's podcast, I just had to, share my story because it's nuts. And, you know, I really enjoy listening to you guys, and, you know, I appreciate y'all listening to my story. So anyway, if you play this, that'd be awesome. If you don't, it's okay. But, I hope to call back with some more stories. So yeah, anyway, have a good day. All right. Bye.
So my question is, when the Shadow Man touches you and you start acting different, mm-hmm. is he manipulating your personal emotions, or are you then a conduit for something else?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Are you feeling that entity's emotions?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just being translated through you. I almost kind of go down that route rather than just some things like, I'm going to make you really an asshole right now.
Yeah.
I think it's more so there's this rage that this entity has within it, and it just, you kind of pick up on it. It's like you can pick up on that with people too sometimes, where it's like somebody's really sad. I mean, it's like why a group of people will start crying around each other mm-hmm. when they otherwise weren't. It's because they're picking up on those emotions. You can be, if the circle around you is really happy, they're going to do that. Mm-hmm. It's that, but I think amplified.
Yeah. I think so.
Very much so. I still will never quite understand what the heck the hat stuff is about with some of these things. But
yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just a way to distinguish which shadow person it is.
Yeah, it's clearly very fashionable in the shadow community to be wearing hats.
I guess.
When you terrorize the living. So there you go. It's the in thing.
Okay.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, thank you guys. You have an amazing show. I listen to it all the time. My story begins, a little background. My mother lived in a home that was haunted. Doors opening and closing all the time. Everything was moving constantly. But her parents, you know, didn't believe in those things and thought she was crazy and, you know, don't talk about those things. So as I was growing up, my mother was very open to things and always spoke about these things with me because these were her experiences and she wanted me to feel comfortable should anything happen to me. In my teen years, being not using my brain properly, I got a Ouija board. And not thinking that those things can be a door to bad things. So my friends and I used the Ouija board at my home with my mother, and she knew about it, but never, you know, just girls having fun on a Friday night, you know. And things started to happen after we used the Ouija board repeatedly. We learned that on our property, through the Ouija board, because we all took notes, that there was a family who owned this property, and this is in rural area. Family owned the property, and what we learned through the Ouija board was that the father had killed his children in a little river. Well, I thought, okay, well, we don't have a river. We have three ponds, but we don't have a river. So I didn't think it. Okay, you know. It was fun. But then things started to happen. Middle of the night, I never slept. I was not a sleeper as a child. God help my mother, but I never slept. I talked nonstop. But so throughout the night, I would be awake. And I would hear people talking in the dining room. Well, I'd think, oh, my parents are awake. It's 3:00 in the morning. Surely I can go in there and visit with them. There's nobody there. The house is dark. Everybody's asleep. So I'd go back to bed, and I'd hear it again. And it was a full conversation. I couldn't make out their words, but I knew that people were talking, and I could hear them from my bedroom. I'd go check again. No, house is still dark. This went on for years. Then I started to feel uncomfortable in the house. Things, I would feel like I was being watched all the time. I wouldn't, even as a teenager, I would not shut the bathroom door to take a shower, which, you know, you're a teenage girl, you want most privacy that you can get. And I wanted to be within screaming distance of my parents because of all of these fears. and now realizing that I have opened a door that I cannot close. So my mother, understanding my fears, moved into my bedroom. Okay, so she's sleeping in there, and I am very hot-natured, so I had one of those little clip-on fans that clipped onto the footboard, you know, my bed, and I reached over middle of the night to turn it on because I was so hot, and someone's hand grabbed my hand, and I lost my mind. And of course, this wakes my father up, and he's upset. Why are you screaming? Why are you crying? It's 2 o'clock in the morning. What is happening? And my mom is holding me, trying to get me to speak for one, and to stop crying, to catch my breath. So she tells him, go back to bed, shut the door, I'll get her calmed down, don't worry about it. And she asked me after he left what happened, because my father was not a believer. And she asked me what happened. Something clearly major has. And I told her, I said, something got me. Something touched me. And for a good long while after that, I slept in her bed. I was terrified of everything. So my mother blessed the house. Sage, religious music, you name it, words to push the dark entities that were in that house out. I moved out, and as I got older, I moved out, and I moved on the south acres of our farm. And again, this is out in rural America, okay? So when we're getting ready for the footing for my house, I went to the back part of my pasture that I now resided on, and I found a creek, and I found where the wall somebody had manufactured. Now, this is 100 years ago, okay, from the Ouija board telling me this, okay, this wall made of, like, handmade brick to basically wall off a portion of that creek, okay, to use for water, for washing clothes, bathing, whatever. And that was unsettling. I found the creek that I didn't realize had existed, and we had owned this land for 30 years. And it was now on my property. So house is finished. I moved in. Not a big deal. Until I had two nieces at that time. And this was my first marriage. And we had two nieces, and they would come and stay with us. Two-bedroom house, very small starter home, and they would stay in one of the bedrooms. And my older niece, I believe she was 4, very responsible, always picked up her toys before we would take them back to their mom and daddy's house. And I shut the door because that room was just for them. And later on that day, after I got home, and I knew that they had cleaned the room and not thinking anything of it, but I needed to go in there to vacuum real quick after I dropped them off. I couldn't open the door. And I thought, well, what on earth? What? I knew that they had cleaned the room. Why won't this door open? My first thought is it's jammed. Something's wrong with the wood. Brand new house. This can't be happening. Couldn't open the door because all of the toys from the inside were stacked against the door. Now, that sent me into a frenzy. I called my mother, and, of course, she walks over there, and I am just hysterical. I don't know what's happening, and she said, it's following you. That's what's happening. So she blesses my house, and she tells me what to say for the, you know, to tell whoever this is to get out, and life goes on, okay? Still a little uncomfortable in that house. About 2 months, 3 months go by, my friend comes over and she's staying the night. My now ex-husband was on a hunting trip, and she's staying in the second bedroom. And she keeps hearing what sounds like somebody flipping through a book, how you would just run your thumb across all those pages. And she said, it's coming from underneath the bed. Well, I had already cleaned out all of the girls' coloring books and everything, because they had colored through all of them, and I threw them away, going to get them some new ones. And that's where they were stored. There was nothing, there were no books to make that sound in that room. So she comes in my room, which is just clear across the house, and she says, I need to scoot over because I'm going to sleep in here with you. I said, okay. You know, what's the matter? And she said, I kept hearing that noise under the bed laying. I kept hearing it. I didn't understand what that was. And I finally told it to go away. Leave me alone. And she said, when I looked under the bed, there was nothing there. And that's when I told her. I said, well, because there's no books in there. So years go on. I've moved on. I've moved out of that house. But before I did, it gave me one last show. I was coming in from work, and I was taking off my shoes, sitting on the bench right there by the front door. And I looked across my living room, which is directly, it shares a wall with what was the girl's bedroom. And there's a very short hallway right there that connect, you know, goes to the bedroom. And I lean down, take one shoe off, and I look up. And there is a child standing in that hallway looking at me. And it was dressed, it was a little boy, and he was dressed in something from like the 1800s. His clothes were old style, you know, the type of handmade overalls that you would see, and a little hat and everything. And I blinked and he was gone. Well, I spent the night at my mother's that night because that scared me to death. So years go on, I move on, and to this day, I still see shadow people. I have them in this house. I see them all the time. You know, I stopped hearing things, though, as far as conversations in the middle of the night. But every so often, right as I'm about to go to sleep, I will hear my name being screamed. Like, maybe out of terror, maybe out of fear. I don't know what it is, but I instantly hear it and it's gone just about as quickly as that little boy that I saw was gone when I blinked. And I work myself and going back to sleep, you know, can't call my mom to come over. I have a husband and family of my own now. But those things, they follow you, and they never leave, I believe. And it doesn't have to be the person or the house that's on it. It's the person. It can be that person. You know, it's a lifelong journey, I believe. But I see, to this day, I see shadow people everywhere. In town, you know, any place I go, in this house particularly. But anyways, that's my story. I enjoy your show. Thank you, guys. Bye.
I would have had to have found out some way if what the Ouija board said was true about the father killing the kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, there were spirits of kids playing with the toys and pushing them against the door and then seeing the little boy. But I would just...
How would you go about that?
I don't know. I don't know if you could find records.
Sure.
At the library on property history or something like that. I just don't know.
If it was known that he did it and it wasn't some sort of accident or whatnot. I mean, the further back you go, the more questionable some of those records can be.
Well, I would think you could find whether or not children died there.
Sure. Sure.
I don't know.
And I wonder, that's what I wonder, if like this is the reason they're giving these messages, because it was looked at as an accident or this or that, and they're trying to get the story out. Like, no, it wasn't that, it was this.
Yeah.
That seems to be, I wouldn't say super common, but when you have a story that kind of lines up like this, it seems to be kind of the direction it goes.
That would just drive me nuts, not knowing that.
Creepy story. Thank you for sharing that with us. We greatly appreciate it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the program, please become an EPP, extra podcast person, at ghostpodcast.com. Go there. It's $5 a month. You can start to be an EPP. Get access to all of our bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week, exclusive access to all the previous EPP bonus episodes, video content, and more. There's even more options to upgrade. You can do a yearly EPP membership, Or if you do it through the Patreon method, there's even some other options there for you, including getting regular episodes in advance before they're released publicly, commercial free. So there's some new interesting extra things for the level of EPP member you would like to be of supporting the show and keeping it on the air. It all starts at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for being, thank you for listening. For being a supporter, for being a true friend. Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again.
That's nice.
Of real ghost stories only.